But tonight I'm in massive danger, and the Bible makes it very clear that, those who teach will be liable to stricter judgment. And I think from the outset, I definitely need to say I need so much prayer on this of entertainment and relying on entertainment as a form of escapism, which is what we're going to look at. I've got two young children who come here. Most of you will know them, Evelyn and Audrey. And when you're tired all the time, the temptation is just to flop down, as Ben said earlier, and just veg out. So I just want to pray. I need the Lord so much tonight, and I really want to be changed as a result of preparing for this evening and as a result of talking to you about it. So let's just pray together, please. Almighty God, Lord, there are so many addicts sitting in this room now, including me, to entertainment and the need that we think we have for it. Lord, we thank you that you give good gifts and good things that can be used for such great good in our lives. But Father, every single one of us will have consumed entertainment in some manner which we need to repent of. So we pray, Lord, that you soften our hearts, even now from the outset as we come before many different passages in your word, and we seek to explore the truth behind this. Please help us. Father, we don't want to leave here unchanged. We want to be challenged. We pray that you'd keep the enemy at bay in our thoughts now, that we won't be faithless in thinking that this is an unrealistic challenge, but that you would help us. Thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, and that Christ has overcome sin so that we can be set free and we can live free. Thank you for Jesus. Be with us now. Amen. Okay. Right, so entertainment, I think from the outset it's important to clear up that what I'm referring to in this is TV, movies, and music. I'm not addressing social media as entertainment tonight. I'm not even going to go into social media because I think the point of social media is to be social, and I think it does anything but that. I think as a society we're more unsociable than ever before, so I'm not going to talk about social media. So TV, movies, and music, all right? That's the blanket thing of what we're talking about with entertainment. Happy? Okay. Oh, I love that. Look, I've been here for a few years now, and finally people are getting it to come back and forth to me. I love it. Okay. Okay, if you were asked to give this talk, what would your headline point be about Christians and entertainment? We need to have a think. If you sat by yourself and you're thinking, please don't get me to talk to anyone, then please don't. Just sit by yourself and have a think. If you want to talk to someone, just have 3 minutes to talk about that. What would be your point if you were told, okay, tonight you want, okay, maybe you don't feel gifted in being able to come up the front and talk, but what would be your headline if you were to make a point about Christians and consuming entertainment, TV, movies, music? Have 3 minutes. Go ahead. Or have a think by yourself. All right, let's draw that in. Okay, last open question for everyone that's thinking, come on, just crack on, stop making me talk. Maybe 1 minute then. Why do you think people crave entertainment so much? Why? Go. 1 minute. Thanks, Bobby. Wow. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Let's round that off. I think two major themes that I sort of eavesdropped in overhearing were the themes of relaxation and distraction, which is really interesting. I want to say from the outset that this is not me saying same is bad. That's really important that I clarify that, because especially those of you who don't come to church very often, you're like, it's nothing safe. Like, why is the church always attacking that stuff? Yeah, I'm just not interested. I'm really not seeking to do that. I love movies. I love some TV shows. I love some music, and they can be used for great good. But check this out. So in 2020, the average UK adult spent 5 hours and 40 minutes a day, up to 47 minutes, 5 hours, 47 minutes, watching TV or online video content. So that's a third of someone's waking hours watching or consuming some form of entertainment. So that's when they're presumably at home. At work, I don't know about you, if you're working at the moment, but how many of you has music on in the office? Yeah, quite a handful. Yeah. Even in the police, there's some music going on in the background sometimes, when it's not critical. So we're consuming music all the time, and then on average 5 hours and 40 minutes. Now I'm not going to go into the age categories, but actually the upper echelons of 60 plus consume more content. Interesting. What are folks doing with retirement? If you are taking notes, please take this down, because these are my headline points for today. And I want us to really, if you can, learn these. I'm really going to try and learn these points. Okay, entertainment is good. In brackets, what is good? What does good mean? Useful / helpful. Entertainment is good when we use it to 3 things: marvel at God, hate evil, and desire righteousness. So entertainment is good, meaning useful or helpful, when we use it to marvel at God, hate evil, and desire righteousness. Okay? The byproduct of that is, therefore, entertainment is bad, in brackets, wasteful or destructive, when we use it to escape / medicate the reality that God has ordained for us to be in. That's the first thing. 2, it's bad when we exclude God from that activity of consuming. So just exclude God, you can write. And then thirdly, revel in godlessness. Okay? Those are the two camps that we're in. Now, if we're honest, for you, what would you say is your best film? And don't worry, I'm not going to pick on anybody. But what was your favorite film? What's your favorite TV series? What's your favorite album? What's your favorite song? Why are they your favorite things? Well, I hope as a Christian, the response to that is going to be because there's something in that film that emotionally moves you or inspires you or causes you to marvel in something in the human condition. So my first sort of thing there in why entertainment can be good is that it causes us to marvel at God. And that's not a sort of a pun on Marvel, the Marvel franchise. What I mean by Marvel is just wow, you're incredible. Praise God, glorifying God. I'm in that. So yeah, have a think about that. What is your favorite film? Why is your favorite film? But before we come to these points and break them down, I want to go into that second question I asked as an open forum. Why do we consume so much entertainment? Why is it that 5 hours and 40 minutes to 47 minutes a day do we look to entertainment? Well, how do we know if something's an idol? 2 things usually, money and time, right? So if that's a third of our waking day, is that fair to say that entertainment is an idol in our culture? What do we think? Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah, absolutely. Certainly in my own life, after work, after putting the girls to bed, I just want to flop, and entertainment certainly can replace so easily time with God, or time that could be spent developing or progressing personally for his glory. And this is the circumstance which makes entertainment a bad thing initially, right? It's an idol. It's a massive idol. If I challenged any of you to go cold turkey on entertainment, movies, TV, music, how would you get on? Like, how long, like, could you do it without having, like, a massive craving? Like, man, I'm desperate to just watch something or listen to something. Or how many? How would you fare? Have a think. I would struggle. I would really struggle. And even in preparation for this, I love music. I love making music. I love listening to music. And even in preparation for this, I made an effort to, instead of just carte blanche, sticking something on in the car, sticking something on when I get home or when I'm cooking dinner or something like that, just stop and be present, because I'm so reliant on it. So it is an idol. I think we need to acknowledge that. Why do we love entertainment? It's an idol. Two, I've just mentioned this. It is addictive, isn't it? It's addictive. It's incredible what we can see on screens now. It's incredible the sounds we can hear and the music production that we can get into. It is staggering in so much ground has been covered over the last 100 years in terms of what we can produce on screen, that it's like, it's phenomenal. Of course we're gonna want to see more of that and consume more content and have more and have more and have more, because it's highly addictive. I'm not gonna go into the science of why it's addictive, but in short, how would you do? How would you do if you just unplugged that TV, or you got rid of Netflix for a bit, or Amazon Prime, or Disney Plus, or whatever series? How would you do? And I'm not telling you to do that, right? Just, it's addictive. Hands up if you were an addict, therefore, to entertainment. I would say we all are, and I don't mean to judge you, I really don't. You might not have a TV, you might not do anything. Or you rock. I'd love to chat with you about what you spend your time doing. I'd probably have a heck of a lot to learn from you. But I think that's going to be important when we're talking about how we then change. It's important to say, hey, yeah, I'm an addict to entertainment. Yep. I rely upon it, so much. If you're not a Christian here today, if you're thinking like, why is this guy attacking entertainment? What's the deal? Let me just say from a practical point of view that our consumption of entertainment is a massive dream killer in life, isn't it? Like, you wanna develop, or you wanna acquire a certain amount of knowledge, you wanna go get a degree, you wanna be, in a sports team or have a personal best in weightlifting or whatever, and you don't do it because you'd rather just sit down and just watch something. It's a dream killer. It massively prevents us from doing, from accomplishing things in this incredibly short life, as it's our default behavior to consume entertainment. Right? It's our default. So if you're not a Christian today, just if you're going to take one thing away, just have a think about that. How is your consumption of entertainment crushing your dreams? Like, what do you really want to do? We're going to be like 80 in no time. We're going to look back and think, wow, what did I do? What did I do? I spent 5 hours and 40 minutes a day watching or listening to stuff and being entertained. I could have done this. So just have a think about that. Now the third thing that, again, in the whisperings, distraction, relaxation, from what? The third thing as to why it's so addictive. And this is the most interesting, and certainly I think for me the biggest temptation is because entertainment helps us escape, doesn't it? Right? Life is tough. Like, we've just come through a couple of difficult years in respect to COVID, and where we're at mentally as a society, there's more mental health issues now than ever before. And actually, some people say, this is my medication. This is how I medicate. This is how I fight my anxiety. I don't want to face what's going on in my life, so I'm just going to completely switch off and get on with something else. Now, that might say, it's tough. It's such a gray area, because where that can be a useful thing, and we're going to go through the criteria later, where that can be a useful thing, when that is our autopilot, rather than, Lord, you've given me this tough season, you've given me this difficult circumstance that I want to tackle with you, that I want to give to you so that I grow, do you understand how if our immediate response is to escape, we're actually sidelining God and we're suppressing what he wants us to do with growth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I caught one of you not paying attention. Okay, so just think about that. I'm not gonna call people out. I've been pulled up on that today. It's afternoon at the picnic, so I can't do that anymore. Think about that. Think about that. What are we suppressing that God wants us to grow in when our autopilot is, just let me escape. Let me get into space. Star Wars. get into the Marvel Universe with the superheroes. And I love this stuff, but we'll talk about why. But escapism gets negative, as I say, when it wants to distract us from what God wants us to address with Him. And you think about in a relationship, if you are married or courting, or as a single person with your family, parents, siblings, friends, whoever, imagine if you came in from a hard day and they said, talk to me about it. You're like, no, I want to escape it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm never going to talk about it with you. I'd rather just focus on other stuff. And sometimes that is our response. But if that was a permanent state of us dealing with an issue, that would be concerning to that relationship. Does that make sense? Okay, so whilst the Bible encourages appropriate recreation and refreshment in as a response to work, which is cursed, right? Adam messed that up for us. Work is cursed, and it can be a slog. The Bible also warns against this excess of consumption and wanting to rest in an ungodly way. So generally speaking, do you think the music you watch and the TV... Nope. Do you think the movies and the TV series that you watch and the music you listen to helps you to love God and be more holy? Be honest. Be very honest. Do you think it helps you be more holy? Be more like Christ as you get out there? Man. Honestly, like, I confess, like, generally speaking, the answer is no, I think, for me. And it's tough. Like, I want to be accountable to you guys as a church. Like, it's tough. But it's an activity that I think we generally withhold from involving God in. Like, if we'd be like, Lord, like, just bless this time of watching, I don't know, as in Love Island, I've never got it, I'm not interested in that, or whatever that is about celebrities, like, getting into a relationship on live TV, very weird. But like, stuff like that, could you honestly say, Lord, like, bless this time? No, you can't! Same thing, for me, police dramas, like, I love, like, sort of, you know, my sinful self loves the sort of dark stuff because it strokes my ego and makes me think, oh yeah, you could be like this. I'm very impressionable. Can I really say, Lord, like, bless this time? No, I can't! So, that's the first thing. That's the problem. So how do we spell out to Christians then? In light of these issues, okay? Well, I think we've acknowledged there's a problem. I've seen a few nods from people. We have an issue. How do we spell out then the seriousness of us all being addicted idolaters who don't want to live in the reality that God has placed them in? How about these scriptures? Luke 8:14, parable of the sower. You know it? The seed fell among the birds, the seed fell among the thorns, the seed grew in shallow ground, shot up, and then the fruit. Listen to this. Luke 8:14, you can turn to it if you like. I'm only reading that one verse. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear the word, the gospel, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Super scary. So, the pleasures of life, entertainment chokes the gospel, it chokes maturing, it chokes bearing fruit, that last part, and their fruit does not mature. Like, we look at the church, like, nationally, and we see a massive issue with the depth of people knowing God, and I'm talking about myself as well, and we marvel at it, we're like, how, what, Lord, like, what's doing, please revive us. Well, then we need to repent of our addiction to entertainment. We need to repent of how much we're consuming so that we can bear fruit. Do you know? So we're knowing God in a deep way, and we know we're being led by the Spirit. We're not grieving Him, and we're sensitive to His leading rather than just covering up, our issues with our days by medicating on entertainment. So that's the first thing about the sort of consequence. We don't bear fruit. I want to take us through just quick, two bits in Revelation. If you want to turn there, these are going to be slightly lengthier passages I read, so please do turn there if you've got a Bible. Please do if you've got a Bible. Revelation 2, this is, to the angel of, sorry, I'm going ESV, so I'll go, I won't be so selfish, I'll go NIV. So I can turn there with you, there you go, we'll have a race. Alright. To the church, this is Revelation 2. And we're just going to verse 5. So, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. These are the words of God. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not. You found them false. You've persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. So look at that verse 4 again. I hold it against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. And just think about how far you've fallen. We're going to talk about the response then, but I'll read it now. So repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. So it's this idea that at first, when you think about your own Christian life, when you came to know Christ and you recognized the overwhelming consequence of your sin and you needed that placed onto Christ so that you could be at peace with God and you could experience that salvation. The warning to this church in Ephesus in Revelation can be to us too. What do we love more? If our default is to consume entertainment rather than take these things to God, we're loving something other than Him. We've forgotten our first love. And what is the result of that? It's this light being taken away. It's this enlightenment that comes from God being removed, which is a severe consequence. Flip over to chapter 3. I'm going to go to verse, next page, verse 14. Just 14 to 16. So, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So we're talking about us wondering at lukewarm Christianity in the church. We're wondering why people just seem indifferent and apathetic to Christians now, as if there's no authority, like, Lord, what's going on? But perhaps it's because we're lukewarm, because we're looking like the world. We're loving what the world loves. Of course they're going to be unattracted to the gospel, because we've got nothing to offer other than, hey, I caught that series you're watching. Have we abandoned our first love? Are we lukewarm? So there's a real danger here. It's a dangerous topic. This is why it's a hot topic. It looks like, oh, entertainment. Okay, do it less. Just watch less stuff. Read your Bible more. Talk finished. No, there's serious consequences here. And God is sovereign and promises to keep us. I don't want us to get all afraid like, oh, no, I can lose my salvation. That's not what this is saying. It's just this idea that if we are His, but if we're living in this way, we're going to have wasted untold years of our lives if we continue to consume entertainment so passively. Lukewarm, fruitless, wasted. So let's look at what do we do about this. You're like, come on, let's get to the answer. Resetting our default, okay? We've looked at the default position, which is flop, watch, consume, go to bed, maybe. Or if you're retired, maybe it's just that's on most of the day and it's on in the background. I don't know. Let's talk about how we respond then. So the first thing, any sin issue. What should we do with any sin issue in our lives? What should we do? Repent. We recognize and repent from this sin. Because if there is no repentance from this issue, from this idolatry, from this desire to suppress God's will for our lives and just medicate through escapism, we're not going to change. So we need to confess and repent generally speaking, right? So like, Lord, please change the direction of the way in which I consume entertainment, and more specifically when we do fail. Okay, because we're simple people. I don't want to be faithless and have wrong expectations for us to say, okay, you're all going to fail, you're all going to watch something or listen to something that you shouldn't have. But we're broken people. And so when we do fail, repent, confess it, and then go again, you know, in committing it to God. Okay, I'm reading a fantastic book which belongs to Maria. It's called I don't know what it's called, Brave by Faith by Alistair Begg. I don't even know the title of the book, but it's incredible. It talks about Daniel living so distinctly in Babylon, and it's blowing my mind how distinct he is and how good God is to him and what God does in that working, whilst he's in that context. So, yeah, whilst we're resetting our default, we recognize the best problems. Two, like Daniel, you are different if you are in Christ. You don't belong to this world. You are an exile. You are an alien, the book of First Peter talks about. You're a stranger here. This is not your home. So, the way we consume entertainment needs to be different because we are different. Amen? We are different. Okay? We need to be understanding that position in Christ. Peter says this, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners, which means like travelers, and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. I think one of the biggest things that will help us to reset the default is realizing more of who we are here in this context. Knowing that the altar of the screen, of the TV, that's where everyone else worships. We worship the true and living God, not that. I will talk about how it is good, because at the moment it just seems like I'm slamming entertainment. I will talk about how it can be used for great good. But in the meantime, I just want us to just get in this mindset that we need resets in our default position. Okay? Yeah, I mentioned Daniel. He's super helpful in his outworking of this. He drew some serious lines, didn't he? That if he hadn't drawn, they would have diluted his sense of identity. So the whole deal with the food thing, like a lot of people are like, why the food thing? Why did he stop that? Because once he's captured, he's essentially a slave in Nebuchadnezzar's house. And by Nebuchadnezzar saying, here's food from my table, Nebuchadnezzar's basically saying, hey, I'm your provider. I'm like God to you. Okay, so a lot of people are like, hang on, is it the whole like Jewish meat thing? Like, is that why? No, no, no. He's wanting to say, no, I don't recognize you as God in my life. God's the God of my life. And he's going to sustain me even on a diet of complete vegetables and water, nothing else. That's that point. So he's drawing that line in the sand so he's not getting confused about his own identity. So for us, we need to draw some super specific lines about entertainment. Like actively, like pledge yourself to him. Make him clear. What lines do you have at the moment? We'll talk about some specific lines in a sec, but I guess, no, let's talk about them now. Okay, where have they gone? Okay. Has a film or TV series or song, do they have themes that glorify sex or promiscuity? Is that a line you have? It needs to be a line we have. Okay? It needs to be. As Christians, a lot of other stuff about violence and maybe cussing, perhaps more gray areas, we can talk about that, more subjective, it could be a Romans 14 issue, what causes you to stumble or have offense. Blasphemy again is another thing, it's like, hang on, that's a veto, if they're gonna belittle God in a film, that's another line we don't budge on. But I think how the world has taken sex and distorted it so much to make it so anti-God, we don't tolerate that. We draw the line, however awkward. If we're out with friends or at the cinema or we've stuck something on and it's so going so well and there's that little scene that of where it's explicit or there's nudity or cheapens that sexual intimacy that God has ordained for marriage, sack it off. Come on. That's one of the most obvious ways that the world distorts God's ordained plan for us. And we see that in Romans, don't we? It's a consequence, like how people perceive sex. Sack that off, please. It's non-negotiable for as Christians, for me. Okay, as I say, other things might be more nuanced, can be really depending on you. My brother, I've got enormous respect for him. If there's any instance of blasphemy or taking Jesus' name in vain, he's done. He's off. Bang. Done. Other people who you might work in an environment, like Stephen working at the docks, I'm sure the language down there by the other workers must be crazy. Like, so it might be less of a deal, for you or other environments where you hear that all the time, because it's like, okay, that's not going to cause me an issue. Okay? Same as violence. It might be a thing where if you're a nurse like Maria and you're seeing blood and guts all the time, I'm not saying like I'm advocating horror films, but I'm saying, and I'll talk about some specific examples later, where that might not be an issue for you, right? Whereas other people, it might be a problem. So this point I'm making here about resetting is knowing where we are. You're not of this world. Don't devote yourself to the same addiction of entertainment and the escapism that acts as a coping mechanism from the weight of life. Because why? Because we have a hope in Christ. Hebrews 12 says this, and we memorized this at Weatherings at camp a few years ago. But I'm going to read it out. So since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and what the writer of Hebrews is talking about is the people in chapters 11 who demonstrate faith, okay? Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let's run with endurance the race that's set before us. Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, right? So set aside stuff that's not useful. If this Christian life is a marathon and we're running, what helps us run best? Is it vegging out? Is it just like consuming that next song or that next album? Does it help us to run? That's a good way for us to look at it. I want us to revisit the initial criteria that I mentioned as to when entertainment is good. Because I want to get positive now, because I've been very negative about it. So let me get positive. So I said at the start, entertainment is good, meaning useful or helpful, when we use it to marvel at God, hate evil, and desire righteousness. So I want that to be my filter. I want that to be your filter when we're watching or listening to things. So write up on your wall or above your computer or TV or wherever's going to help you. I want to talk about some examples that I found helpful to do these three things in a film. It's a great film that I find great. This is all personal preference. And you can come at me afterward and say, hang on, I actually found that really offensive or this was super unhelpful. I'd welcome that and I'd welcome the challenge. So please do. A film called The Blind Side, which is about a family who just pour out grace on this homeless boy after adopting him and really redeem him from a life of crime and just enrich his life beyond measure. And I love that because it makes me marvel at man being made in God's image to reflect his grace. And coincidentally, it's a true story, Christian couple who took in this boy. And to me, it just made me want to pray and say, Lord, like, I'm that guy. I'm that homeless boy who is just destined for destruction, but you adopted me. So I love that because it made me want to, I got emotional, I get very emotional at films. It made me want to just exalt God's glory and marvel at who he is. And it made me want to be gracious. It made me, that third point about desiring righteousness, it made me want to be that. Second example, Hacksaw Ridge. It's a war film, about this, medic in the army who refuses to bear arms. With the war scenes, there's a lot of sort of graphic violence, so I'm not saying, go ahead everybody, crack on, show your kids, I'm not saying that. Obviously given what I do for a living, that isn't such an issue for me. But it moved me so much, because this man is totally devoted to, fulfilling what he feels is laid on his heart by the Lord, specifically, which is, I'm not gonna kill anyone, I'm not gonna bear arms. Again, it's a Roman 14, thing, I'm not saying whether or not he's right to do that, but he feels convicted by God and he sticks around to that conviction so selflessly and saves hundreds of lives. And that really moved me to think, man, like, Lord, when folks grapple with the reality of the truth that you've laid on their hearts and they stick to that, that's a good thing. Like, adhering to convictions, that's a good thing. That makes me, I look at that film and I think, I want to be like that guy. I want to have convictions where I draw lines and I stick to them. That's a good thing. A similar principle, less violent, Chariots of Fire, obviously famous film, that Eric Liddell, we drew a line in the sand, I'm not going to run on a Sunday. And the Lord honored him in such an amazing way, but it's, again, I watched that, and it makes me want to marvel at God and this guy's relationship with God. And if you know, it's not covered in the film, but if you know the story of Eric Liddell, the guy, went on to be a missionary in the Far East and ended up dying in a concentration camp, like giving his life I think it's a mother, we did it at camp, didn't we? A mother and a daughter so that they could go home. Like a beautiful story that makes me want to be like that, to hate evil and desire righteousness. Another film, Tree of Life, it's a bit, it's not like a story per se, it's just sort of an experience, it sounds super weird, but it sort of really, to me, it really affected me to see the beauty of God's creation, taking through just life and what it is. It sounds very vague, but to me, I found that very helpful. I could go on and on and on in my list. There's a film, movie I love called Remember the Titans, which is about an American football coach who meets racism and adversity, but with love on the moral high ground, he proceeds and pours out love on his team. Similar principle in a TV series called Friday Night Lights. So I could go on and on and on. And I think that entertainment can be such a good avenue to output, to make us like moved and think like, Lord, like, thank you. Jesus tells stories, doesn't he? Parables. Why did he do that? Rather than just telling a sermon. Because he's made us emotional beings who connect with a story. So when we experience that, it can motivate us unto him more and more. Okay? But when it's not doing that, and when these things aren't things that we can do with our Heavenly Father, that's not a good thing. Okay? And I would say that that's the minority of series. That's the minority of things that we watch or consume or listen to. So when we default, we're in a dangerous position because we're just mindless. We're not being intentional. Like, we want to be blessed by entertainment, yeah? We want to grow. We want to be blessed by that. Okay, so yeah, we're talking about defaulting. We're nearly there, by the way. We've looked at confessing. We've looked at being different because we are different in Christ because of what he's redeemed us from. And three, I want to look at this again, this point that we've just fed on to, presenting our entertainment to God intentionally. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you've got a Bible, yeah, do flick to it while I have a sip of this drink. Okay, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you'll be able to attest and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's this idea that in our days, how often are we presenting ourselves to God? Like, how can we try and undertake any activity away from him and expect to benefit from it spiritually? We can't. So this is, Paul is talking big picture here, but I'm trying to get us to do it specifically as well. Present your watching time, your listening time, present it to God, and you'll experience what you're looking for. With entertainment, we're looking to medicate against the issues in our life. The greatest medication for that is to experience it with God and perceive him. Bam! Then we understand our hope again. Then we understand our position in Christ again. Then we understand his character. And that's a beautiful, beautiful balm. But let's present ourselves to him worshipfully. Let's be free as we watch certain films or TV series so that we can say, yeah, like, Lord, thank you for blessing me in watching that. Rather than this sort of ambiguous, like, oh, I'm gonna have some me time. I'll just stick this on and watch that, and then I'll go have my quiet time. Now just enjoy it. Enjoy it with involving God in that. And we spoke about it earlier, but what does that verse 2 say in chapter 12? Don't conform to the pattern of this world. That's not who you are. We've already covered this. It's not who you are. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't just pick up on a recommendation from a colleague. It's gonna be toxic because they don't know Christ. Consider it, measure it, think if you're looking at like how to evangelize to him, okay, great, maybe consider it prayerfully. And there's ways that we're gonna talk practically how to do that, but we gotta know who we are. We're not conformed to this world. We are distinctly different from it. We've got to remember that. Okay, practically speaking then, before we finish off and conclude, I want to draw your attention to two good websites, which is one's called Common Sense Media and one's called Christian Spotlight. These provide a rating, a moral rating, and a sort of filmmaking rating, which is interesting because you can kind of look at the rating and review and think, oh yeah, really offensive, really going to damage my walk. Yeah, but it's a good film, so I'll crack on. No, but like, draw those lines as we spoke about earlier. Look at the reviews. Look at what these people have helpfully consumed or watched so that you can be warned. Is this going to be unhelpful to me? What are the themes here? Hang on. There's no swearing. There's no sex scenes. There's no violence. There's no, there's nothing immoral in there. I'm good to go. I'm just not going to pray about it. I can't present it to God because actually the whole theme of the story is man drawing upon man's own strength, and that's actually going to cultivate pride in me. So it's a tricky situation to be prayerful about a certain thing that we might watch or consume. The other thing I'd say is if you're on these video on demand platforms like Netflix or Amazon Prime or Disney Plus, or the list goes on and on and on and on and on, make a watch list. So instead of sitting down unintentionally thinking, I need to look for something to watch, then you're likely going to stick on something that isn't useful or beneficial or something that you can give to God. Make a watch list, which is like you go on a film and you click plus or whatever, and you want to add it to a little list, and you go on that list. But be prayerful about your watch list. Add good things to there that you can give to God that can result in those three things at the start, if you remember. So you can marvel at God as a result of them. You can hate evil. You can desire righteousness. Hannah and I are loving watching Wimbledon right now. And I believe that watching them, can you imagine, like, how long are these games? Like, some of them are like, what's the longest, Manson family, you're a super tennis family. What's the longest game you've heard of in tennis? Is it 5 hours plus? I mean, what? Like, the human body moving in this way and the reflexes. I watched the reflexes. Your serves coming at 133 miles an hour. Like, praise God. Like, I marvel at God's creation in watching athletics like that. And watching the competition and watching this striving for victory, because they don't want to settle for anything less. I think that does two things that motivates me to spiritually strive. And also it's like this idea of training and being fit and being at the top of your game, but also to marvel at God from His creation. I think sports is great for that. I don't want you guys to think like, right, okay, we need to be hermits now. Like enjoy Wimbledon. It's going on right now, but do it prayerfully. Like, makes it sound like a fruitcake. Pray when you're talking about it with your whoever you might be watching it with, or if you're watching it alone, just involve God in it. Involve God in it. Use it worshipfully. All right, I'm about done. Let me just give you three more verses, just as a point to close off with, which might further cement my points. Proverbs 4:23. Let's not turn to them. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance. From it flows the springs of life. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I think that again reiterates that point that we said, that you are different, so be different. You're in Christ. Do it in the name of Jesus. And finally, this verse from 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, says Paul, quoting the Corinthians, who say, everything's lawful for me. I can do everything. I'm free in Christ. All things are lawful for me. But Paul says, but not all things are helpful. And then he quotes them again. All things are lawful for me. But then he says, but I won't be enslaved by anything. And that's the same for us. That needs to be our battle cry. It's not helpful. We're not going to be enslaved by it. We know who we are in Christ. We want to reset our default. So we're done for time. Let me pray, and then I think we'll have our last song. Lord, we've covered a lot of ground there. Father, we recognize that we'd love to not be lukewarm. We'd love to not have forsaken our first love and seeing you. And it seems like a mammoth mountain to climb. But Lord, we thank you that you're able, that Christ is the victor. So Father, we pray that you would revive our habits of entertainment, that you would change them so that we can be more prayerful, we can be delighting in you. But Father, also so that we can just spend time with you as we're doing these other things, that they won't be isolated away from you, that the idol won't replace you, but it can be an activity that is recreational with you. Lord, please, do this thing. Help us to go away and think about this more and to implement some strategies that are helpful and to feed back to each other how that can be helpful. Forgive us, Lord, for being so prone to wander and embrace these idols. Lord, we thank you for your enormous grace for when we have done so much. Thank you that there is hope of change and your mercy is so infinite. Amen.